Last night's theme here at the Republican Convention, Law and Order.
Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to make something very clear. Blue lives matter in America.
Milwaukee Sheriff David Clark. The topic is a tender one in Cleveland, which has been under a federal monitor since a 2015 Justice Department report found a pattern of excessive force, including the 2012 fatal shooting of two African-Americans after a wild police chase, and then there was the 2014 shooting of Tamir Rice. Tensions show up in street protests. Here's Lizette Luna of the new Black Panther Party.
I want to see all police out of our neighborhoods. If you get called, that's a different story. And when you get called, you don't have to come in aggressively. You can come in, do your job, but you don't have to come in and attack us.
But this week, we met Cleveland Police Captain Keith Sulzer talking to business owners before the convention started.
Just like anything else,
yeah.
If there's an issue or a problem, call 911.
He's a big booster of getting cops into neighborhoods, something scaled way back because of budget cuts. He's the department's liaison to the Cleveland Police Foundation, working to improve the city's image. We met Captain Sulzer and retired cop Bob Gutu, also of the Police Foundation, in Public Square. You can hear there's some sort of false fire alarm going on behind us, but we asked Captain Sulzer first how his department is answering the call for reform.
Well, I think, first of all, if you come to Cleveland, you come to our new Public Square, you're going to see a different Cleveland. You're going to see that it's a really great place. It's a beautiful place. The people are friendly, and it's a very diverse city. The police themselves care about this community, and that's what we do at the Cleveland Police Foundation, is we provide funds so that officers can go out in the community and do good things for people. So if a bike gets stolen from a kid or someone needs furniture, they got evicted from a home, we at the Cleveland Police Foundation provide resources for officers to reach out and help people that are in need.
And Bob, talk more about that, because the Police Foundation, Cleveland Police Foundation, by all accounts, does fantastic work. But when you talk about sending police and doing things with the community, that's what the system's supposed to do. I mean, talk about that, because you're one of the critics that feels that community policing has fallen a little bit by the wayside.
Well, actually, it has. From what we had, you know, in the past, we had a great situation where we had a community policing was over 100 people at one time. And a lot of the officers were in substations, and I was one of them in different neighborhoods.
Talk about that. You mean little mini stations,
that's
literally
exactly
out in the...
what they were called, little mini stations. We had one for every ward that covered one for every council person. And that council person had us in a designated station that was okay to you know, that we could get in there and spend some time and get to know the community, work with them, attend the meetings and block clubs, set up block clubs and street clubs. And the people were, they adhered to it. They were devoted to it, as well as the officers, which was important.
And let me ask you too, Captain, this idea of being in the community, as from a current police officer's point of view, what does that relationship with the community do?
Oh, it builds bridges, and it the more you know someone, when you know somebody's first name, you feel a little responsibility for them. So what we've done is, you know, all police departments have gotten away with that. We've been more about statistics and about numbers, and that really doesn't tell the whole story. What tells a story is how the community feels about its department, and so that's what we need to do. We need to be neighbors. We need to get to know our neighbors and get to know our neighborhoods a little bit better. And the more you do that, the more responsibility you feel toward that neighborhood.
We let Captain Sulzer go. He's a busy man. And asked Bob Gutu for an illustration of how many stations have worked.
We had an incident where we had an homicide in the area where I worked. And through a total investigation with a couple of the homicide people that I used to work with, they brought me into it. And you know, through a careful investigation and reaching some of the people that I knew in there, that homicide was actually solved. And I think that's unheard of these days. Back then, we had officers getting information like that. I was getting information that I was relaying to, you know, the drug task force, the drug enforcement, and things like that. We offered the folks in the neighborhood something that they never had before, and that's why it was so well received.
How do you get police departments to begin the community policing, or go back to the community policing that you knew when you were part of it?
Well, I attended a conference out down in Columbus just recently for their yearly conference, and they had a group from all different departments I got to address and spoke to them because of my experience with community policing and knowing how it can be a success if indeed it's practiced the correct way. Our officers that are coming on the job now are recruits. They let me go in there and have a couple hours with them before.
They invited you to talk to them.
Yes, they have. And I've told the officers, and the first thing I tell them, I say, you have to realize when you come on this job that there are people in the neighborhoods that will back you. Because all you hear a lot of times, these guys are hearing the negative about people. Well, the majority of people in neighborhoods back the police. And they need to know that. So they do give me a two-hour block, and they do that. But other departments are waking up. If you go to the different websites, you'll see a lot of your suburban departments and statewide departments. They finally realize that community policing is very important. Now they have to have the manpower to apply it properly.
Is the reform that the DOJ report and the commission called for getting done?
I think it is. I've had some talk with the chief, and thankfully he's using people like me who've walked the walk and knows what it's all about in the neighborhoods. And again, I keep repeating it, but everybody needs to know that there's good people in the neighborhood. So we're getting that word out, and the chief has made some giant efforts in some respect to get community policing back in the city. It's taking some time, but it's going to happen.
And when you say community policing, let's get a definition. Foot patrols are probably never coming back. The guys just walking the beat. What do you mean by...
Well, actually, I have to beg to differ with you. A lot of our districts now, it's up to the commanders how they use some of their people, and they are putting them back in the neighborhoods on foot patrol. That was a very important part of what I was doing, you know, way back when, getting out there. And we would just take every day. We'd either go to a business area and just walk the businesses, hand our business cards out with our phone numbers on, and say, hey, if you got a minor problem, give us a call. Let us know what's going on. And that, in turn, opened up the... You know, the guys in the front lines, I call them our zone car heroes because they really are. Those are the guys that respond to our priority ones and priority twos. So if we handled the threes and fours, kind of like the dogs barking and the abandoned cars, things like that.
Threes and fours, level of, is that, what is that, threes and fours?
Threes and fours is how they prioritize our calls. So if we handled the threes and fours, the number ones and twos, which could be if somebody with a gun, should be faster a response time for the zone car people. So it all works together, and we had a vast improvement of response time way back when we were doing that too. So,
Bob, let me ask you another thing. Community policing in troubled neighborhoods is one thing, but some of the problems, the systemic problems that have occurred lately, affect all communities. I mean, you've heard of, you know, black parents having to tell their middle class and upper class kids what to do when they get stopped by the cops. What do you do about changing the perception and the reality for many African-American families that, as all reporting has indicated, they're going to get stopped more often, they're going to get jailed more often? What do you do about that?
Well, unfortunately, with the drop in community policing officers, we were doing actual program that was called What to Do When Stopped by the Police. So we informed the kids, and we were doing a lot of it in high school. They were well-received, believe it or not. I was shocked to know that they were so well-received with the kids in the schools. And we were telling them exactly what to do. If you're stopped in a vehicle, put your hands up on the wheel, illuminate the car if you can, and don't move your hands.
Yeah, but, you know, the black parents say, well, wait a second, how come my kids have to be more vigilant than
other
kids?
Well, they don't. We were bringing it. We weren't prejudiced about who we brought it to. So we were taking it to the east side and the west side, all schools. That was very important. I'm glad you mentioned that. And like I said, I was really surprised it was so well received. And unfortunately, again, with manpower, I don't think that program is being put to use as much as it could be, and I think that plays a big part of it.
What do you do? Cops who aren't getting paid enough, who are being asked to do way more, you know, be the social workers of the world, and then you've got African-American families. Their kids are pulled over more often, they're pulled over more often. How do you change that?
You know what? It's going to change, I believe, by, again, and I think community policing plays a big part of it. We need to get these programs together. We need to get people involved in getting to know their police officers.
Well, is it also maybe police officers getting to know African-Americans, if they're not?
Well, sure, and that's not saying. I know a lot of it is training. They're saying, well, we need some more training. That's always been a big complaint here lately. You know, when I was on a job, and I know they still get their diversity training, they do get that. And maybe it needs to be improved a little bit. And we need that rep.
Nothing can replace training's one thing, but I think this is where you were going. Training's one thing, but nothing can replace people just actually knowing people.
Exactly. And until you get the manpower, we can get these guys, we can get some guys besides answering these priority one and twos to get down to a meeting, a neighborhood meeting, where we have a group of diversified people from the neighborhood, maybe a monthly homeowners meeting or something, and get some officers to go down there from that area, sit and talk and hear some of the complaints and hear some of nothing beats that one-on-one. And I'm telling you, that's what we had 30 years ago in this city. And like I said, if I didn't live it, I wouldn't believe it. And when it started happening, along with the other 30, 40 officers that were involved in it, we were astounded that the people responded so well. And that was because we all worked zone cars and we were handling these ones and twos, people with guns, kids abused. We seen all that negativity. That's what we couldn't believe once we got in this community policing, that now we seen people in a different light. And all they wanted was to live their life quietly and with these quality of life issues, have them addressed, which they were all of a sudden now it's, wow, this is the greatest thing since sliced bread.
And it ended.
You know, abandoned cars used to sit for 2-3 months in the city of Cleveland. When we were there, abandoned car, I could mark it for 3 days. Within 72 hours, I had it towed. So that's the difference. It's not, you know, unfortunately, without this community effort, without the police and the citizens working together. And again, it's starting to improve. I'm seeing a little bit of improvement. I'm not saying it hasn't.
It's coming back.
It is, but they need to be devoted to it. With the DOJ's report, I think it's happening, and it's going to happen even more. And believe me, it'll work if it's done properly.
Retired Cleveland Police Officer Bob Gutu, Community Partnership Coordinator for the Cleveland Police Foundation, a great group. We'll link you at hereandnow.org.